Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risely Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. You don't even have to. If you don't want to set like a diabetes, you know, A1C goal for next year, like you can, but you can also say, you know what, my diabetes management right now is like a 4 out of 10. I just want to, by the end of next year, want to be, you know, at a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10, right? Like I would feel so great. And then you can work backwards and say, all right, well, what would it take to get me there? A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. After a 3-week break of pushing out new episodes, we are back right in time for an end of the year episode on the best process, in my opinion, for end of the year reflections and intention setting for the new year. And it's a really good episode to listen to if you're feeling stressed of like, oh, I don't want to set goals for another year around my diabetes or around, you know, my happiness or my life and, you know, not follow through with it or not get there. And if you're feeling like that, like this is the episode to listen to, I promise. The one thing I do want to share that I didn't mention this episode that I wanted to and I forgot is there's something this year that I kept anchoring back into that I want to share with you. And it is this saying that I heard, I don't know where I heard it, but it just really stuck. And it's what you permit is what you promote. Like, how good is that? What you permit is what you promote. And essentially, you know, what it means is like, if you're allowing things to happen in your life and you're just like being passive and not creating change with them, like you're essentially promoting that this is the life that I want to live. And I love it. And at the same time, something that I, you know, always just remind people who I share this with, whether it's clients or our team or whatnot, is, you know, that's only part one. It's like what you permit is what you promote, but then you can't forget that there's a huge part of it where it's like maybe what you're permitting is happening because you don't have the right systems in place or support system in place to be able to help you create, you know, different outcomes. And maybe you don't want to be permitting those things and you don't want to be promoting those things, but change is just hard because you don't have the right things in place. And so if you are someone who is currently feeling like you know, are feeling exhausted and terribly frustrated by your diabetes, and that's, you know, physically and emotionally, and you know that you want to create a change, but you just had a hard time doing that on your own this year. And, you know and can acknowledge that if you had the right support and tools and roadmaps, that it could be incredibly transformational for your health and your entire life. I do want to share that this podcast is such an incredible place for, you know, giving you that motivation and some of those tools and whatnot. But I know that a lot of people want to potentially do coaching with Risely and our team in the new year. And currently we're at full capacity for one-on-one clients right now. I can't believe it, but we do have on January 3rd of the new year that we're reopening applications for our January Decide and Conquer group coaching bootcamp that starts on January 17th. So if you are, you know, a woman who is, you know, has type 1 diabetes and is looking for support right out of the gate in the new year, this is the option. And this is our signature 12-week group coaching program for women with type 1 diabetes who are really wanting to go from feeling discouraged and overwhelmed and are craving more confidence and empowerment in their lives. And we've had over 300 women graduate from this program, and they were all ones where you were sitting right now, feeling like they constantly leave their endo appointment, wanting to create change for themselves, and they just aren't able to, and they realize they have to do something different. So the last day to apply is going to be, I believe, January 8th. It's that Sunday. So we're going to open it up again on the 3rd. There's only literally a few spots left, but we are going to open it for anybody who wants to, you know, try to sneak in last minute. And so apply during that time frame, and maybe this could be the year that you start off on a foot where you do have those right systems and support in place. And without further ado, let's get to the episode. I'm sitting here at my desk in what I like to call organized chaos. I have all of these pieces of computer paper surrounding me, and it's because last night the folder made an appearance.
So I have this one folder that for the rest of the year stays tucked away in my office closet, and I bring it out around this time because it has all of these yearly reflections and yearly intention settings since 2016. So I started at least keeping them and keeping them all in one place 6 years ago. And last night, my husband Chris was out Christmas shopping, and I was like, you know what? I'm feeling called. It's time to bring it out. And I just sat there, I had a glass of wine, and I was just reading through, back through the years. And it's crazy how just at a different place I was in every year. But at the same time, there were, themes that were still coming up, like some things that I still struggle with today around perfection and, fear of not being liked and abandonment and those types of things. Like they, aren't necessarily fully healed, and you can kind of see they come up every year. And I've definitely grown so much in a lot of areas, right? We're all different than we were 6 years ago. There's just like these themes that come up. There was that theme, there was another theme of just always saying every year, like, trust your gut, trust your intuition. Like that is, the thing that helped you the most this year. And I feel like that's one like constant that I am always having to remind myself of. But yeah, today's intention for the episode is to share with you a process that I find is so much more effective than just setting a goal of, I want to have better blood sugars next year, or I want to lower my A1C next year, or I want to be someone who, wakes up at 5 a.m. and starts the day by reading 20 pages and works out. And it's like, how many times have we all set those goals for us to realize that like we don't follow through with them, right? Or we might follow through with one, but when we set too many, it's like it's a lost cause, right? We're setting ourselves up for failure. And a lot of this goal setting, these exercises I'm going to walk you through today, if you're, at home right now and you have some space to just take pen and paper, like do this as we're talking together. And if you're not, if you're walking or if you're driving or whatnot, you can think through them in your head. But I really, really recommend getting pen to paper at some point and stashing it away and looking back at it next year. But I just want to say, like, before we start, I was looking back last night at my intentions that I had set at the end of 2021, like for this year. And I also was looking at the vision board that I made, and I felt like a lot of things that I put on it like didn't come to fruition. And a lot of things that I, was manifesting and hoping for just didn't happen. And it kind of made me feel a little bit sad for a second. And I was like, if I'm being honest, I felt like I failed in a way. Like I felt like I didn't hit all these things that I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish. And then I was able to take a step back and I was like, you know what, Lauren, like as much as this year was a great year because of, you got married, we had our wedding, we had our honeymoon, there was other great things that happened. It was a hard year. Like I had a hard year this year. And I don't even want to say it was a hard year. I had a lot of challenging moments this year in a lot of different areas of in business, in personal, just, I'm even thinking like my grandpa, I'm so close with him and he, has dementia now that, he didn't have this time last year. And it's just, there's just a lot of like heaviness I feel like that happened this year. And I just want to say if you had a year like that too, where, I don't know, you got divorced or you broke up a relationship or you got let go from your job or whatever it is, like, I just want you to have some grace for yourself that I think we can set goals and intentions for the year, but we have to leave space for the unknown, right? Because we cannot control everything. And I think the good thing about the exercises that I'm going to take you through right now is it allows for that space. It allows for like you to set intentions around what you can control, but then, leave room for the things that you necessarily can't control and things that, may happen that you can't foresee. So let's get into it. I am going to take you through, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, look at that. I love when it's, straightforward like that. We have a 5-part process for your reflection and intention setting. And the first one is it's a way to really track and just check in with yourself first. So before just like reflecting and saying like, here are the, you know, great things that happened this year, and here are the things that were challenging, lessons learned and whatnot, like let's just start by taking inventory, right? And this is something that we have in the Diabetic Health Journal. If you have it, if you have been through obviously coaching, like we've, you know, done this many times, but it's so great that like I come back to it every year. And so this is the 8 pillars exercise. This is the first part. And so what I want you to do is write down or just think through these 8 areas. And this is something that I created back in, I think, like 2016. But essentially looking at how fulfilled you have felt this year in these areas 0 through 10. So 0 being like, I'm totally unfulfilled. 10 being like, I'm so fulfilled. I killed it. I, you know, really, really excelled in this area. And yeah, here are the eight pillars. So the first one is diabetes management. If you happen to not have T1D, which I don't think is many people listening to this podcast, you can just put like overall health. But diabetes management is the first one. The second one is exercise and movement. Third one is sleep. Fourth one is energy. Fifth is peace of mind / stress and anxiety management. Next one is nutrition and relationship with food. Next one is relationships with family, friends, and coworkers. And the last one is self-love and acceptance. And so when we start by, you know, taking inventory, you could even pause the show to fill this out. But when we take inventory in this way, we realize that how interconnected everything is, how when our diabetes management, you know, we're not feeling great about that, maybe our stress and anxiety increases. Or I know for me, I was looking back on my reflection sheets, and in 2016 and 2017, I had a lot of my, when I did this exercise, my relationships were low, and it was a lot surrounded by, before, you know, Risley and everything that we're doing today, I was in a very, very toxic work environment around a lot of negativity, a lot of, yes, just not comfortable. It was bad. And that toxicity really, really, you know, seeped into so many of these other areas. So the relationship part I had rated really low because of that environment, but it seeped into my energy. It seeped into my sleep. It seeped into my diabetes management. And so what this really allows you to do is say, you know what, like, let's look at these lowest areas here and let's see for next year, like, how can we give it some love and how can we nurture these parts of my life, and then see the ripple effect maybe even happen in a lot of other areas. So you don't even have to, if you don't want to set like a diabetes, you know, A1C goal for next year, like you can, but you can also say, you know what, my diabetes management right now is like a 4 out of 10. I just want to, by the end of next year, want to be, you know, at a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10, right? Like I would feel so great. And then you can work backwards and say, all right, well, what would it take to get me there? Right? What things? And then you can kind of goal set that way. Right? And the goal is just being more intentional in that area, in that pillar of your life. And naturally things kind of will just fall into place and follow, because where, you know, intention, where intention is where you're going to, you know, nurture essentially. So that's the first piece here. Like, let's just see where you're at, take inventory. And yeah, also once again, come back to the compassion for yourself and realize like, you know what, like maybe my sleep is really bad because I am a new mom, right? And that's something that I can't control, and it's low, and I can maybe do a little things next year to, you know, improve that. But how can I maybe buffer up some of these other areas to kind of balance that out and give a little TLC to those areas? So just see what comes up when you do this. It's that time for a brief 60-second commercial break here. So we know that diabetes affects people of all ages and all walks of life, and that the numbers are only increasing. The Diabetes Research Institute leads the world in cure-focused research and has made substantial contributions to the field over the last few decades. If you want to stay up to date on all the DRI news and advancements, you can become a DRI insider by joining their email list. I am personally subscribed, and they are my trusted go-to source for diabetes cure and research updates. And as a listener of the Reclaim Your Rise podcast, when you subscribe to DRI's list, you will receive 20% off of Risley's Diabetic Health Journal, a tool which has helped thousands of people with diabetes become more mindful and accountable of their patterns around blood sugar, food, exercise, and more. Just go to support.diabetesresearch.org/reclaimyourrise or check the show notes below for the link to drop your name and email. So that's the first part. The second part is where we are going to be looking at beliefs to shed. So I have like an affirmation that you could even say to yourself that I was, you know, thinking about last night, which is, I shed my habits that hinder my truth, I release and I renew, right? We can't look at what we want to grow next year unless we're able to see what we want to shed in order to make space for the new things. And these beliefs, I'll even give you like the personal example of mine. I'm looking at my sheet right now. And I mentioned earlier that like perfectionism is something that I've always been, like it has continuously showed up over the years. And I definitely feel like this year I, you know, understood that perfection is really just a fear of abandonment. And, you know, that comes from, I don't want to say silly things, but it's just like, you know, fear of abandonment of when I was younger and realizing the first kid who saw my maybe insulin pump that I had a crush on and, you know, he laughed or thought it was weird or whatever. And it's like that sticks with you. That's for you're rejected, right? You're not perfect. You're rejected. It goes to the two boyfriends in high school who cheated on me, right? Abandonment. You're not perfect. Those other girls are better. And so abandonment, there you go. It, you know, happens in many different ways for me over the years, but like that, you know, those younger years really kind of like created this belief that like, I have to be perfect and I can't make mistakes or people will leave. And this belief like isn't as strong as it used to be because I feel like throughout my 20s, I've done so much work on my identity and feeling purposeful and feeling like I'm enough, but it's still, you know, in the back of my mind. And it's still something that, you know, at the beginning of this year when I had some just kind of like online bullying and trolls and things like that, like it, you know, it creeped in of like, well, you're not, you know, you have to be perfect. You can't say one wrong thing or like you're just, people will, you know, not like you and this and that. And it's like these stories kind of just spiral and it's like, this isn't the human experience. Like I'm expecting so much of myself and I have to give myself a break, right? Because I'm going to make mistakes and I'm not always going to be perfect, but I can learn from them and I can grow. And the people who are, you know, able to see me and at my core, they're going to stick around and they're going to love me for me and unconditionally in that sense. And that's all I really can control. So, you know, that's just a personal example, but you want to write down at least, I wrote down three beliefs that I have to shed and that I'm going to work to shedding, you know, this coming year and kind of hoping to leave behind as I go into this next decade. And for me, like I'm leaving my 20s this year, I'm going into my 30s. So it's just, it feels time. It feels time for this next chapter of that and people pleasing and all of it. So with that, the third part, so one is eight pillars, two is beliefs to shed. And then the third part is beliefs to reframe. Okay, beliefs to reframe. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to take those three beliefs that you want to shed and you're going to reframe them. Reframe them into how are you going to reclaim ownership of those thoughts? What are you going to tell yourself? So for me, the belief that I shed was I have to be perfect. I can't make any mistakes. People will leave, you know, all that storytelling. And the reframe is I'm going to make mistakes and not always be perfect, but I can learn from them and I can grow. Right? And then that alone, you can see the difference. It's just, you're spending the same amount of energy talking about, you know, believing and telling yourself a story, just switch the story that you're telling yourself. And it's interesting because every year, you know, on these pieces of paper that I've done this, the beliefs have changed. Some years you can see like things carry over, but for a lot of them, the beliefs that I used to have around like back in 2016, one of the beliefs that I had written down that I needed to shed was that like, you know, it was around emotional eating and around, you know, food is something that I cannot be in control of. My blood sugars are always going to go high because I, you know, can't find balance with food and all that. And it's like, I look at that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember that part of me. And like, I had this core belief that I'd never be able to change. And like, now it feels so far away from me. So you can change your beliefs. You can change your outcomes and you have to start with reframing those thoughts. So do you see how we're already like going so much deeper? And remember, our thoughts create our feelings and our feelings create our actions. So if you just want to set goals of I'm going to do this differently next year, I'm going to wake up at this time or, you know, do this or do that, like it's likely not going to change unless you're getting to the root of what thought is causing that feeling that's causing that action in the first place. So that's why this part is so, you know, important. And then we're going to move to the next part. And the next part is gratitude and things to celebrate from the year. This is the fun part, right? Just bullet down all of the things that you're grateful for and you want to celebrate, you know, for yourself for the year. For me, there was a lot of, you know, personal things I wrote down, like our, you know, our wedding with all of our friends and closest, you know, family. And oh, that joy that I have is, you know, forever going to be locked inside of me. And the honeymoon as well. It's just such a, you know, once in a lifetime, you know, moment in 2 weeks that was just complete bliss. But we had that. And then on a, you know, a Risley level, some things that I had put down, you know, we started the podcast. So this was my year, the word of my year, which we'll get to, like setting a word, but it was expression. I felt like I, you know, as a just, I don't know, like, I feel like a couple of years ago before Instagram, before social media, I was so just like, I would say what was on my mind and with conviction. And, you know, I had these beliefs and I was just unapologetic about them. And throughout the years, I feel like I got a little bit, you know, scared of that in a sense. And this year was like, no, this is my year of expression. Like, you're starting a podcast, you're talking, you know, a lot of these, most of the podcasts, I don't stop, right? I'm just starting and I'm going through it. And that's, you know, a challenge for somebody who wants to do everything perfectly. Sometimes I'll re-record an intro, you know, 10 times until I get it perfect. But for these like longer stretches of the episodes, right? Like, I'm not starting and stopping. So just the year of expression of that and of going on Instagram and sharing more of these stories of like, hey, this is how our healthcare system is screwed up. Like, I talked to this person and, you know, can you believe it that this is what her doctor or her, you know, nurse practitioner or CDCS, whatever it is, told her. And I think that has, as much as you're probably listening like, oh, that's not like a big deal. Like, I love when you share those stories. Like, that was a big deal for me because it was like, you know, just like using my voice, I feel like in a bigger way. So the podcast had 30,000 downloads since we launched it, I think in March. And so we, you know, I'm so appreciative of everybody listening and downloading the episodes. We grew our Risley team. We served 20% more T1Ds and parents of T1D children this year through our coaching and the A1C Shift Method course. We had a 300% increase in scholarship clients through the nonprofits we work with. And then the biggest one, which I've talked about here on the podcast, is that clinics and endocrinologists are starting to reach out to us and say, hey, like, how are you getting these T1Ds, you know, these outcomes? And like, can you work with our patients? And it's just really, really exciting stuff in that sense. So I wrote down, you know, a bunch of things, but those are some of the highlights that I wanted to share with you. And I want you to reflect. And those gratitudes don't have to be, you know, so big. It could be like, you know, you were able to more consistently make space for yourself in the morning, or, you know, whatever it is. It could be more personal, it could be more career, it could be, you know, travel. But take some time to celebrate yourself and what you accomplished. And the last part of this is going to be, we're going to create the vision of who you are becoming at your core. So here's something that's really important. Oftentimes, we think that if we create these goals at the beginning of the year, then they're going to eventually form into habits. And then those habits are just going to make us easily create better decisions. And then when we make better decisions, we have more intentionality in our lives. And then we're able to get to this vision of who we want to become. And at Risley, what we believe is we have to flip this on its head. So we have to start with the vision. And then the vision allows us to be more intentional in our day-to-day. And then when we're more intentional, we make better decisions. And we make better decisions, then it eventually becomes habitual over time. And then when it becomes habitual over time, our goals, we just naturally get there. And this is a big thing. Like, for me, like, if I were to share like the number one thing that has helped me create transformation with my diabetes, with my life, like just in everything over the past couple of years and whatnot, I would say that it's, I stopped setting these like such quantitative goals and like masculine energy goals. And I more so just like went into the core of like, who do I need to show up at as this year? Like, what is this vision of like, you know, who Lauren wants to be leaving next year? And it's more of like emotions and just like, yeah, like at a core, like, what is this? What does it look like? And so you can take some time to just write down like a paragraph. Every year, it's pretty much like, I don't know, like probably like 10 sentences, 15 sentences, something like that, a full, you know, 3/4 of a page of computer paper to just write out like, you know, this year, like, this is who I'm becoming and this is how I'm going to see myself and this is what I'm going to believe. And, you know, when you have that focused attention then on the vision, you don't have the pressure of like, oh shoot, I set that goal to work out today and I didn't do it. And so now I feel like a failure. Like when you set that intention from a place of really just like inwards out to out, then you kind of watch those goals naturally, just like you get to them without even needing to really set them. And what you can do is you could also like make a web where at the end of writing this vision, you can create one word. And like I said, last year for me was expression. I actually have a list. Where is it? I'm now like going through all the pieces of paper. I have a list of all my previous year words that I could even share with you if you need some just like inspiration. Gosh, where is it? Let's see. In 2022, it was expression. In 2021, it was three words. It was lead, build, expand. In 2020, it was equanimity. In 19, it was essentialism. In 2018, it was balance. And 2017, it was bravery. And, you know, once you have this word, this is something that you can, you know, anchor back into, and you could even write the word on a piece of paper and then draw kind of like a web with all these lines going out from it. And you're like, if I'm able to live this and really kind of breathe this word this year and have this be my guide, you know, what are the possibilities of what could happen with goals? Like this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, but you're not really attached to the need to succeed at these goals because you don't want to hold on to it too tightly. You want it to kind of just unfold throughout the year. So there's less of like a success fail or, you know, a pass fail model for these goals. And you just give yourself more space to just grow into this throughout the year. So with that, this is, you know, the 5-part process that it takes a little bit more time than just setting the goals, but it's worth it because it becomes your anchor and your blueprint for the year. And the fun part is you'll be able to look back, especially on the 8 pillars exercise next year and say, oh my gosh, like look where I was in this area. Like when I look back on some of these pages, it's, you know, mostly 2016, 2017, I was rating my diabetes management as like a 5. And I'm like, you know, you can see in that 2017, 2018, I was also setting specific goals around my blood sugars and A1Cs. And then after that, in 2018, I stopped doing that. And it's like, that just naturally is a part of me now. It's who I am. It's easy. And I remember that there was a time where it didn't feel easy, but I didn't get there necessarily by just, you know, setting those goals of I'm just going to lower my A1C or do that or do that. Like I combined it with all these belief reframes and looking at what worked in the year, what didn't work, and the vision of who I wanted to become. And I really connected for me that like this work in the diabetes space was so, so, so crucial. And I felt like I was just meant to do this work. And I knew that my blood sugars at the time were holding me back from that because I didn't have, you know, the energy or the motivation on some days, or I just like didn't feel confident in myself. And as I worked through, you know, the vision, it just kind of naturally, you know, fell into place. And now I look at those 8 pillars and they're all pretty, you know, high up. I would say there's some areas for me that you know I can work on around my like peace of mind and stress and anxiety management, but they don't work so much in tandem with diabetes anymore. It's more so just like other, you know, areas of life. So oh, we made it. We made it to the end. I hope that this was helpful for you. I am really excited to hear if you use this exercise. So please send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. Let me know if you come up with a word. I actually don't have my word yet. I'm still in the process of, you know, working through all these reflections, and we'll definitely share on Instagram this week of what it is when it comes. So thank you so much again for listening to the podcast and supporting the show this year. Thank you for taking the time to rate the show 5 stars and for leaving reviews, and have a happy rest of the year, and we'll see you in the new year.